one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Wigeon.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slang in the Biscuit. Here's Travis Wigeon and Dave Wheeler.
The show has a guest today. He is one of the favorite guests that I had in the previous version of the podcast. He is a Stanley Cup champion, won a bronze medal at the 2002 Olympics, won a silver medal at the 2000 World Junior Championship. He is a proud father of three and quite possibly the most passionate Formula One fan on the planet. Welcome to Sling the Biscuit Podcast, Ilya Brizgalov. How are you, my friend?
Hey, hello. Hello, friend.
How are you, Ilya? Where are you? You look like you're calling in from a bunker somewhere.
Yeah, it's a typical American hotel, Marriott, you know, and from Wisconsin. City's Madison, Wisconsin.
You're in the cheese capital. You're in the dairy capital of the United States in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so far I didn't try yet.
And you're with your boy Vlad. Vlad's on his way to becoming a star.
USHL team, Madison Capital, he tried to make in the USHL team. We'll see how it goes, you know. Good experience, you know. Instead of going to the Jersey Shore, spend time on the ice, polish his skills.
So this is just a rookie camp, or what kind of camp is it for the Capitals?
I have no idea. It's seems like it's a main camp for, like, I guess, for assemble the team for the next season for them. I don't know.
And does he have a lot of NCAA interest, like from Division I teams?
I don't know. I talked to him.
What do you mean? He's your boy. You should be talking about this kind of stuff, no?
I wouldn't say, like, nothing serious. Yeah, he have a couple discussions with a few university coaches. That's all. It's nothing like he's committed somewhere or we, like, in a deep, serious conversations about, like, scholarship or something like that. There's none so far.
Yeah. One question I had for you, though. So I think everybody, for the most part, in the goalie realm knows who Ilya Brizgalov is. I mean, my mom is one of your biggest fans. I remember, this is the true story. My mom, Lisa, showed up there. She listens to the show every single week. She always used to love watching you in Arizona and Philadelphia. I remember she, if I'm remembering correctly, I know it's been a long time, but kind of like me, she loved the tiger mask you had in Philadelphia. And she was always just a fan, always loved saying your name, although she never said your name correctly, kind of like Don Cherry. But she was always a fan. And so most people know who you are. People like, let's say, like my girlfriend, have no idea who you are. So if, let's just say we hop into an elevator, never met before, who is Ilya Brizgalov? What do you do? What have you done? Tell me about yourself.
Since what age?
Give me the last 20 years.
Last 20 years? I would say, like, my last years, like, after the, I am going to turn 43 soon on the June 22nd. And I retired when I was 35. And this is like last 8 years since I retired, I spent time with my pretty much family, you know, my wife, my kids. I'm enjoying my time, you know, because during the hockey career, basically lots of travel, practices, games, and only during the summer you have a month and a half to spend the time with your family, you know, and right now I have plenty of time to catching up what I'm missing, what I missed during my hockey career. And I'm enjoying, you know, like it's, I was travel a lot with my son to his tournaments and like practices and camps. Right now I have a little one who's like, two years and 4 months pretty much, and he keeps us busy. It's a ball of energy, you know, never stops. He's just running around, you know. Sometimes you're like, oh my god, I wish I have so much energy. My daughter, she's studying in UMiami. She finished her first year. That's it, pretty much, you know. It's backyard work. We moved to Miami. We enjoy the Miami. It's a good place. I enjoy the ocean, great weather. It's a great city. It's it's fantastic, you know. I'm just basically enjoying my life, and sometimes I coach my son and give advice to my daughter, because she's already 19, and raise my little one, you know, and enjoy the life with my wife.
That's awesome. I was going to say, so your birthday's on the 22nd. Mine's on the 24th, so we're 2 days apart. Do you have any plans for your birthday coming up?
Yes, I do. Probably we get some family dinner and somewhere in a restaurant, but unfortunately, Vladi not going to be with us because he's going to be in USA national camp in Buffalo. We're going to miss him. But yeah, family dinner. Enjoy. I don't like big celebration like they show it in the movies, you know. And when they wake up in the morning and don't remember what's happening, you know.
Too much to drink.
Yeah, I guess too much alcohol. Yeah. It's not going to be like a hangover. No.
You're calling the wife the day after. Hey, honey, we messed up. We messed up real bad.
No, all my life I'm avoiding the alcohol, drugs, the bad scenes.
So no alcohol, no drugs since forever, or how long?
Basically drugs. I never used the drugs. I never tried it. And alcohol, last time when I was drinking, it's illegal in both of our countries, where we're right now in the United States and in Canada. I quit when I was 17.
So when you came over from Russia?
It's going to be 26 years. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations. Do you have any other...
Ask the people, like, how many people are, like, not trying the alcohol for 25 years?
Yeah, why don't we do this in the comment section? Everybody listen, if you're on the YouTube video version, leave a comment. Let's be honest. When was the last time you had a drink? Was it yesterday? Was it...
Yeah.
You don't... myself as well, I don't drink at all. And so, like, what do you have as your... I guess drug of choice. Are we talking coffee, tea? I know you're a big tea drinker. Like, what kind of other things fuel that that caffeine hit or that that itch, shall we say?
I'm a hedonist, you know. Like, I like the kind of a great exclusive food. You know, it could be any food. It could be Japanese, it could be Italian, or whatever. It's going to be Mexican or whatever, African. It just has to be prepared freshly and from the good quality of the products. I like the food.
And what specifically is getting you going these days? Is it a good steak, a chicken parmesan, a Asian fusion dish? Like, what gets you excited?
It doesn't matter, as long as that it's presented beautifully. You know, it's not going to be messy on the plate. You know, I like the Michelin restaurants. You know, it's an art. You know, it's food of art.
It's a culinary arts, right?
Yes, exactly. It's prepared well. It's a rich of taste. You know, like, it's a different flavors. It's amazing. I like the great food. I enjoy the good movies. You know, I enjoy the good movies. I enjoy the science. You know, I like the science. I like to read the articles. We all know about my exquisite interest about the universe. Like, it's the same, you know, pretty much. That's I also love massages. Oh, I love massages.
Any kind of massages?
Good massage therapies, you know, it's that's how you relax.
You mentioned the culinary arts and the intricacies of the presentation, the flavor, all this kind of stuff. Do you think that one of the reasons you like it is, you know, the culinary arts are a lot like goaltending? Like, there's a million and one things to learn, but you never truly learn everything. There's always something new. There's always, you know, you're two steps forward, one back as you find something new. There's always that cat and mouse kind of game, and you never truly beat the game or master the game, if you will.
Yeah, I guess you can compare. Yes, because it's like you said, culinary, it never stops. You know, this is amazing chefs. You know, they always trying something new. You know, like mixing the new dishes, like new flavors, you know, with the same products, you know what I mean, and like just under the different sauce, and it's going to be different taste, you know. It's, yeah, I guess you can compare, but it's same thing, you know, like in a sport, you think you can achieve everything, but there is, I'm pretty sure there is a room to improve some in some areas. Nobody's perfect.
And you're always learning. There's always something new to chase down. And there's, I mean, if you want to boil it down, there's never really one right answer, right? There's many different routes to get to that same destination. It's just, how do you want to go about it? Like you, let's say you and J.S. Jagir, right? Two different destination or routes to get to that same location. Arizona, when I believe Jason the Barber was your backup, like just many, just at the culinary arts, so many different ways to get there, right?
Yeah, actually, Jason LaBarbera, he loves to cook. That's his hobby. I remember he's like, we're talking about, he's like, oh, I love to cook. He's like always going to the Whole Foods, grab some lots of stuff, you know, and he's cooking at home, you know, like his wife could probably enjoy it. So like, Barbs, you like, he was like a big man. I said, like, easy to gain the weight because he loves to cook.
But let's talk about your dog for a second. The sponsor, the presenting sponsor of this show, putting a cover on your dog, the team of Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear has been the sponsor for the show, the presenting one since day one, and here is why. They have the dual pouch technology. So if your ham bone is getting stuck to the side of your leg, and maybe your package, your compartment, your basket attached to the ham bone is as well. It's all kind of right on the one side. Sheath Underwear stops that from happening. Reason being, they have a pouch that is separated and segregated. Your ham bone goes in the one compartment, your tether ball goes in the other, and they just sit there comfortably, not touching, aerated, fresh, and you're feeling crisp throughout the day. They also have this incredible bamboo mesh technology. It is cooling, especially when it's +9 in Winnipeg this morning, a little bit cooler, or +32 in Vancouver as it is here today. You're going to be cool, comfortable, and confident with your pair of Sheath Underwear. You're going to go to the link in the video description on the YouTube podcast. You're going to click on that link, and the code BIZKIT69, B-I-Z-K-I-T, 69, will get you 20% off. The best underwear money can buy. Same for the Apple and the Spotify version. On the podcast notes, so just pull over when safe to do so, or at the end of your set at the gym. Click the podcast notes, click the link, BIZKIT69, 20% off, the best underwear money can buy. Yeah, his wife was on Housewives of Vancouver. You ever seen those shows or the reality shows?
No. We have plenty of here, like an American, that is like Housewives of New York, New Jersey, Atlanta, Texas, whatever. It's so many, I guess, you know, just get lost. It's actually interesting. I got to check. Vancouver. I found it in Calgary because he was a coach in Calgary.
Sorry, not Housewives of Vancouver. My girlfriend watches all these reality shows, and one's kind of blending in with the others. It was the Hockey Wives show, where Carey Price's girlfriend, Angela, was on there. Brandon Prust's girlfriend was on there. And then Jason LaBarbera's wife as well was on there. But it's just kind of I think they canceled the show because I guess it didn't do very well over time. But it was just a mix of different hockey wives, and Mrs. LaBarbera was on there quite regularly from what I remember.
The scandals, I guess, you know. There was just a sweet little chats of the girls, you know, no scandals, you know, stabbing the knife in the back. That's what the people likes in the shows, you know, not just a friendly chat with their friends and somewhere in the lunch, yeah, and talking about the kids. That's not the ratings.
My girlfriend Victoria, she loves the reality TV shows, right? Like she's watching like Selling Sunsets, Vanderpump Rules, the Kardashians, all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure you and I are very similar here. Like, we don't seek out the reality TV shows. Like, in my head, I'm like, I don't want to watch this trash, this fake garbage. And then, you know, maybe one day she's watching it, I'm cooking, I hear, you know, some bickering, some fighting, and I'm watching, and the next thing you know, I'm sitting down, and before you know it, we're watching the show together, and I just get sucked in. I can't help myself with this fake drama. It's very addicting.
Oh, no. I'm not watching TV pretty much at all. Like, except right now, you know, like final sports, like whatever, like it's just watching the yesterday NBA game. And I guess tonight I'm going to watch the, what's the team plays in the final? Knights and Panthers. Yeah, right.
There we go. Do you want to get into a little bit of talk about like your playing career, like start to finish and all that kind of stuff?
There was a great experience, you know. I'm thankful to my fate, you know. I experienced the time, you know, because you have to be fortunate to play in the NHL. So many things has to be in the right place, you know, beside your work ethic, talent, health, and luck. You know, it's amazing life. It's a tough life. It's a tough life, but it's fantastic. You know, you traveling to different cities, you staying in a great hotels, you eat the great food, you perform in front of the sold out crowds most of the time. You know, like it's a great atmosphere. You compete against the best players, you know, it's amazing, you know. And right now, when I'm sometimes I forgetting I was a hockey player, you know, because it's like it was a different life. It's not me. Sometimes, like my wife, like, hey, you play there. So I'm like, oh yeah, fine, god damn it, you know, like I'm just like seriously totally forgot, because it's like it was different life. Absolutely. But it was a great, great time. And like, enjoy, you guys. Enjoy. Who made it, the show, just enjoy. It's not last forever. It's goes quickly, just like that. You know, I remember my first year, and you're like, oh, so many years in front of me. Boom, right now I'm going to turn 43. Yeah, right.
When you look back playing hockey, like in the National League, and all the success that you did have, like, is it the memories of like winning the Stanley Cup? Is it the guys in the locker room, the post game talks, the travel with the guys, the hotel room, the training? Like what stands out? Like when you say you were very fortunate and everything was so great, like what is the stuff that stands out in your mind?
You know, that was in my second year of the career, you know, like I was young, and really it was like in that time you're not really appreciated what in the moment what really happening to you, you know, like what we just achieved yet, because you think like, okay, just last year we lost in this conference final. This year we won the Stanley Cup. I guess it's going to be every year like that. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure for the Timo Silani, it was a totally different experience. You know, like he was like, I guess I was something like 37 or something like that, you know, like way above the 30, you know what I mean? And he whole his career for him is it was a different feeling. And I don't know, like right now, I'm like I said, you look back and it's like, God damn it, I was so lucky, you know, like, and you just enjoying, because there is a great atmosphere, you know, everyone's happy, no practice tomorrow. And all my family was there, my dad, my mom was like family, like whole family, my wife, my kids, like, you know, you feel you're just enjoying the time, you know, because like all your relatives here and they celebrate the victory. And what else? It's just, again, it's just like, how many? 16 years ago, I guess. 2007. Yeah, 16 years ago.
Well, I remember when you took over the job in 2006, and please correct me if I missed any details here. But the 2006 Anaheim Ducks, or the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, I guess as they were called, you're playing Calgary in the first round, J.S. Jagr not doing so hot, and then you come in, and I think this may be one of the most under-talked about or underappreciated playoff runs of all time. You end up throwing, and I have the stats here to reference, but you end up throwing a .944 save percentage, unheard of, a 2.1 goals against average in the 2006 run when you swept the Ducks, or excuse me, you swept the Avalanche, beat Calgary in seven, and then it ended up losing to the Oilers, but still a .944, like that's 2012 Jonathan Quick-esque. And then in 2007, although J.S. Jagr ended up taking over the job to the Cup final, you still ran a 3-1 record with a .922 save percentage in that first round series against Dallas. Like you were lights out in those 2 years.
Minnesota.
Excuse me. But like you, like that was one of the, I remember watching, because I was 9 years old at the time, like little tiny me. And Jose Theodore was my idol growing up. He was my favorite. Like, he had the looks, the style, the girlfriend. He was full right, all this kind of stuff. He was dating Paris Hilton, and he's playing for Colorado at the time.
Paris Hilton? No way.
He was dating Paris Hilton, yeah. Do you remember that or no?
No, I don't remember. Paris Hilton. Oh, he was flashy, I guess, huh? Jose Theodore, right?
Yeah, he had the style, the mask, the he just had everything going for him. I've tried getting him to come on the podcast many times. His nephew Chris follows me on Instagram. I've been like, hey, can you get Jose on? Can you get him? Like, this guy was my idol. Like, he was who I looked up to the most as a kid. And
celebrity, I guess, huh?
he was dating Paris Hilton. He won the Hart Trophy, the Vezina, and yeah, he did very, very well for himself. So yeah, but so you ended up eliminating him, right? In four games straight, swept the Avalanche. And I remember being so frustrated because, like, that was my idol. I was 9 years old at the time. And then realizing, like, holy, like this Brzgalov guy is on a run. Like, I just mentioned, like, the 944, the 922, like, he's unreal. And for that 2007 Cup Final run, as good as Jiggy was, like, you swap you or him out, you could have ran him all the way to the Cup Final as well. Like, it was just a deep team, and the goaltending was incredible.
Yeah, we had a great team, you know, like, we have a great offense, great defense. You know, Jiggy was a great all season long. Like, yeah, like, I don't know, like, coach likes to mix it up, Randy Carlyle, you know, not overload the Jiggy over the season. He played like 50 games. There was some injuries. I was injured. Jiggy was injured. Yeah, it was like at some point. We kind of shared the games. He played like 55 something, maybe 50 games. I play around 30 something like that. But the all season long, he was a great goalie, Jiggy. You know, you can say, like, you know, it's something was unheard. It was one time thing. You know, like, he was amazing. You know, like, it's not just this year. Remember 2003 run. You know, like, he's a great goalie. You know, we have a good, I think, goaltending duo. We well support each other. And unfortunately, right before the playoff starts, like a few games before, his wife was delivered the baby and he have some issue with the health. You know, like, that's why he was missing the few games before the playoffs, and I played those games and I played well, and they continued to decide to play to go with me in the playoffs, and we take a lead 3-0, and soon as I lost the game in Minnesota, they bring the Jiggy back to the net. I was disappointed. Yes, of course I want to play, you know, continue to play. But I would say, like, it was not a fair decision. I'm not going to say that because Jiggy, he carried the most of the year and he was a great, and he's in a great shape. And eventually he was in net and we win the Stanley Cup. You know what I mean? There was a right decision. He's a great goalie, and he deserved it all. Can I do that if I was in the net? And that time, it's a mystery. You know what I mean? We just can sit here and speculate it. You know, like, yes, maybe, maybe not. You know, we just it's in the past. You know, but I think, you know, we all benefited. He played great. him and the team, he was delivered us to the promised land, you know. And I feel I'm not feeling like I was not part of this. You know, I was a part of this too, you know, like, and I'm not just like a side spectator, you know. I'm part of this winning team during the season, during the playoff too. I have my games in the playoffs, you know. it's just the way it is, you know. Just you have to be, you can't bring the negativity even to the playoffs, to the team. On you have to sometimes just accept it, even sometimes maybe you think it's not fair. You know, it's just the way it is. It's only one net.
Was it hard for you to separate the business from the personal side? And I'm sure, like, you talked to Vlad about this a lot, but myself personally, I find it very difficult. Like, when we show up from morning skate, and like it's that fun of you show up to the rink, you're playing hockey for a living, it's the greatest job in the world, but then you got to deal with the BS, you know, business side of, you know, coaches, you know, maybe yanking my chains, I'm not getting the opportunities that I think I deserve, or just something isn't right. But that's not a part of the, like, that's the business. Like, separating the two is so difficult, especially in the moment.
It's a difficult part, yes, because you think like you deserve to be in the net, but it's something that was out of your control, you know, and you can have a choice between to be a beep, right? Instead of you, I did a beep, to be a beep, or you okay, said like, okay, right now it's not a time and not a place to create the chaos, you know, let's finish it, and when we're done with everything, we can sit down and we can talk, you know, like, about your place, for example, in a team, or your vision in a team, or your future in a team. Because during the playoffs, it's not a time, it's not a moment, you know what I mean? It's just 2 months, you know, to create the complications. And it's anyway, you can't do anything about, you know, they cannot trade you, they cannot you're just there stuck, and you don't want to create the bad atmosphere around yourself to be toxic, and because it's not even gonna help you, you know what I mean? Because if you're gonna be a bad person, it's in the nearest future, team doesn't probably won't gonna help you to go some way where you can be happy.
Do you think when the team itself sees you being a good teammate, like you're supporting Jiggy, you're, you know, maybe filling water bottles, picking up pucks, staying out late after practice, they see that, and then when you get your opportunity, they want to play for you even more. They say, like, that's a team guy. That's a guy that supports our team. Well, even though he's not playing, he loves us, and we're gonna give it back tenfold when he does get into the net.
Yes, they do. You know, it's actually that was in our team in that time. Yes, and it's like, look, and Brian Burke, like, next year when we start playing, they tried to trade me to give me opportunity to be a starting goalie, and like most of the team said, there was a price was too high they asking for me, and they was not willing to give up. And in the end of the day, just Brian Book told me, said like, okay, Ilya, listen, we're going to trade only for the fair price, but nobody willing to give us that price. I said like, because you did a lot of good thing for our organization, for our team, you know, we just put you on the waivers and let you go for free. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. I would have thought, you know, if Berkey's telling you, you know, you're being too good, right? Like, the price is too high. Nobody wants to pay it. Maybe you got to give up a couple more goals and devalue yourself so you can get traded. But I guess that worked out nicely being claimed on waivers.
No. They said, like, if it's nobody claims you, we bring you back. He said, like, but, you know, like, we'll see how it goes, you know, like, and Phoenix Coyotes will, they was pick me up.
Well, I was going to say, too, in Phoenix, I remember, and I have the stats here, correct me if I'm wrong, but in your 2 years, the first 2 years in Arizona, You started 137 games in 2 years and ran a 920, 921 save percentage respectively. Playoffs both years for the first time in what felt like forever for the Coyotes. Like, you had so much success. I know, like, Sean Burke was the goalie coach there at the time. Like, was there anything that, like, you worked with him on that you think helped make you so successful and generate that overall team success?
I think Burke helped me a lot, you know, like, obviously it was my first goalie coach was Francois Allard. He's a great coach. He gave me a lot. I really appreciate. I really was fortunate to work with him. Same thing with Sean Burke too. He adjusted my game a little bit, not much, you know. He said, like, Ilya, you have a big size, basically said, like, you don't have to play like above the goalie crease, you know what I mean? Just get a little bit deep. That's all. That's pretty much all adjustments, you know, when we kind of work on the angles with the video, with the players, and so they say, like, they see, like, you move back a little bit, but still Joe can see the angle for the shot, you know, but on any rebounds, you have a much shorter distance to recover, to play, you know, to react to the rebound, and it works for me. And also we have another, like, Dave King. He was a legendary Canadian coach. He's a great coach, great guy, great supportive. Like, I think when they have a Team Canada program, you know, like back in the days, he was a great coach. I think these young guys was enjoying working with him. And obviously Dave Tippett, you know, I have a huge respect for him. You know, I think he was one of the best coach at that time. You know, like, he really great. He's not just a great coach, he's just a great, great man. He was just a great man. I respect him a lot. And yeah, it was Don Maloney. He picked up, he's a GM, a couple good players, you know. We have a very good, tight, you know, like a team group, you know. We don't have a huge stars, you know, flashy players, but we was like a Coyote pack, yeah. We had a success. We play as a team, you know. Sometimes you like to hear, oh, we got to play as a team and we're going to be successful. That's what it is, you know, like when we play as a team, you know, when I play in the Coyotes, we've been successful.
Like, when you see the success that, like, Sean Burke had with you, obviously, and then, you know, you end up going to Philadelphia, he has it again with Mike Smith, and then so on and so forth. And now even, like, he's in Vegas working with Adin Hill, and Adin Hill, again, another big goalie, just like you, just like Mike Smith, etc. We're getting to play a little bit deeper, and the success that he's generating with these guys is incredible. Like, do you see anything specifically, like, when you see these guys playing that are working with Sean Burke, like these common denominators of things that are in their game?
I didn't know he's in Vegas.
He's in Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, for how long?
Ooh. I believe he's their actual goalie coach.
Carey Price.
Did he work with Carey Price as well?
Yeah, when they went to the final.
Oh, with the 2021 Montreal Canadiens. Yes, okay, I gotcha. I think Berkey's been in Vegas for, I think, two seasons maybe, if that.
God damn it, huh? I want a goalie job too. It's nice.
What do you think your first thing would be? Like, you come in as a goalie coach, you sit down with the guy, become friends or try to build that friendship, and maybe have a cup of coffee. Where do you go? Like, where would you take that relationship?
Introduce myself, you know, and to talk to the goalies, ask them about the strong sides, weak sides, what they think they need to adjust in their game, what they need to work on that, give my opinion, like what I think, you know, like if they comfortable to work on that, you know, like or not, because sometimes we have like a health restrictions, you know, to on certain type of the games, you know what I mean? For example, like this, like right now, many goalies use the reverse VH, you know, like they a lot. I never can do that because my hips can't turn. You know what I mean? Just seriously. I just like, oh my God.
Well, funny you mentioned that. Another guy you played with in Philadelphia, Sergei Bobrovsky, probably has some of the best post work, best edges, the reverse, all this kind of stuff. And I know this is maybe like 10 years ago when you first were playing with him, but was there anything you saw in Philadelphia being goalie partners with him that you're seeing now and you're like, I knew he was going to be good. I knew he always had something. He was so talented.
No, he was good in that time too. He just, in his like second and third year, you know, he just getting experience, you know, knowing the NHL. He was young, get some ready physically, mentally more, you know, but he was talented, you know. He's like, his work ethic always amazed me, you know, like I never see anybody work more than him.
And like, what would you see specifically?
Like, you name it, he done it. He doing it.
Like edge work, hands, everything.
It's like, okay, he, like, sometimes you can see, like, a goal, like, you know, like, players came to the locker room hour 15 before the practice, you know, and what they're doing, they're sitting on the couch watching TV and drinking the coffee, right? And like, okay, it's 15 minutes before the ice, I got to dress up, you know, like, it's not professional, it's not preparation. Right, this is a different guy, you know, like he will come to the practice, you know, he goes to go through his routine, you know, it's he remind me the Paul Kariya too. He was the same thing, you know, he was like constant and his routine preparation, no matter if it's going to be practice or it's going to be a game, you know, he come to the upstairs to the gym, you know, he do some his warm-up, stretching, pre-workout, wherever he goes to the ice, he stretched, you know, like he practiced, he come back off the ice. See, there's some guys already in the shower and driving home. No, he go upstairs and he start on doing his other things. Okay, maybe going to be riding the bike or whatever he does, done it, you know, like different days, different things.
Do you still talk to him to this day?
Not really. We have a contact, but, you know, I don't want to call him and bother him on the playoff, you know. You know, it's not a time and place. I respect his kind of privacy. I know he had a daughter right now, his wife Olga, probably last fall, yeah, the guy. So I'm happy for him. He's like, he had a great career, and we'll see. I wish them the best. I wish they're going to win the Stanley Cup. But
do you think that if they win the Cup, he'll be inviting you to the Stanley Cup party?
You know what? I will send them my congratulations. You know, the rest of the stuff depends on them. You know, like, not the team Stanley Cup party, because it's a, well, who am I? No, just a retired player. But I know some guys out there we play against and with, but it's not my celebration.
That's funny. One question I have for you now, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but so I'm born and raised in Winnipeg, right? Winnipeg Jets.
Oh my God. Who was your first classmate? Moose?
No, actually, believe it or not, Winnipeg does have a lot more people than you think. I think the population is hovering a little under a million.
I'm just still teasing the Winnipeg guys.
I know. I remember hearing about your comments about Winnipeg when you're playing in Arizona or with Phoenix, and they were talking about moving to Winnipeg. But a lot of people got upset with that. I went, I broke down some of your comments in my notes of the show today, and instead of grilling you, I want to try to convince you that Winnipeg is great. What do you think?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well, so this was your comment. So your comment was, not many people live there. There's no Russians in Winnipeg. It's really cold, and there's not a lot to get excited about outside of hockey. There's no parks or entertainments for families or for the kids. It's going to be a tough life there. I've been there a few times before, and it's always really cold, minus 40. Now, this is what I think you missed out on. So as far as entertainment goes, there's an area called the Forks. It's the Forks meeting of the rivers. And it kind of looks like a fork if you look from like a helicopter, like all the rivers come to meet. And it's a really cool area with a lot of like old school architecture, cool market for food. Like we have some really, really good markets in Winnipeg, like great There's like a fish and chip shop down there. There's just really, really a lot of good stuff down there. And then also,
chips. I hate fish and chips. Especially last year we went to the Edinburgh, you know, like in, and it's like a classic, you know, British food, fish and chips. And it smells from everywhere, you know, and also the problem not changing the oil. It smells disgusting. It's gross.
Yeah, when they let the oil go for too long and it's going black and it's like smoking.
You're like, oh, it's food. Oh, my God. Don't talk with me about fish and chips, huh?
Well, let's try to find something else that you might like. So there's this one market called the St. Leon Market, and they have these really, really good oatmeal and date cookies. Now, it's an oatmeal cookie with like dates spread in between. It's incredible. I think you would personally love it. What do you think?
I love dates. Like, I'm trying to eat every day.
Okay, perfect. So then maybe you'll love some oatmeal date cookies. As far as rich history goes, this was another selling point. Now, Winnipeg may not be the greatest today, but in the early 1900s, it was called the gateway to the West because everything coming east, train-wise and railway-wise, went through Winnipeg. Like, if you wanted to go west in Canada, you had to go through Winnipeg. So the whole city was built around the railway system and like the tracks and whatnot. So as a result, there's some really, really cool architecture with the train stations and just the downtown core and how everything is put together. Some really sexy buildings, some sexy hotels. Really kind of cool. I know maybe you don't want to go sightseeing in minus 40, but it is a little easier in the eyes than, you know, looking at a pile of dirt, which...
Travis, I'm pretty sure there is... I know there is in Canada is the great nature, like great nature parks, you know, like it's everything. But you have to understand my point of view. When you get there, like in the January, and play the game, downtown not a greatest one. There is not much to do, and to get to the arena, you have to go through the tunnels, you know, because you can't go outside. Goddamn cold. Huh? that's what we saw. And that time, I was playing in Phoenix when I walk outside. Green grass, clear sky, great weather during the winter, you know. And when telling you, like, oh, guys, would you like to go to Winnipeg? You're like, what? Seriously?
The tunnels that you're just talking about, if you're listening to the podcast, you know what Ilya's talking about. So in downtown Winnipeg, it's called the Winnipeg Square. And the Winnipeg Square is basically an underground tunnel way that goes all the way from Portage and Main, and it makes it all the way down almost to Broadway-ish. And it goes between underground and then a little bit above ground and back underground. It's really cool, and it's a great way in the winter, like Ilya mentioned, in January and February, and when it's minus 40, minus 30, you don't have to go outside. You just walk through tunnels. You never have to leave the hotel or the arena, and you stay nice and warm. But I will agree with you. There's a reason I live in Vancouver, and it's trying to avoid the minus 40 and 30 of December through April and May, and a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. It gets really cold. And like you mentioned too with Phoenix, when you're coming out after morning skate, you're coming out in flip-flops and shorts and a tank top. Like, it's hard to beat when, you know, somebody tells you, or Berkey tells you, hey, we're going to trade you to Winnipeg. Get your winter parka and your jacket and your ski pants.
And and living there in the Phoenix, Arizona, you only have one jacket for the travel, you know, like I don't have anything yet. I need to go buy.
And it's probably like a track suit, not an actual like winter parka, right?
And put some dark fat in your cheeks, and, you know, make sure skin not gonna crack, you know.
That's another thing I noticed too, going anywhere outside of Winnipeg, like in Vancouver, the climate's very moist, right? Like I moisturize in the morning a little bit before bed, but I don't really need to because my skin's very hydrated around here. Like when I go to Winnipeg and I'm stepping out of the airport, or if I'm getting off the train, it's like right away you feel the dry air, and it's just like my skin is just like begging for some moisture. It's so just densely dry. It's crazy. And you would definitely need some duck fat during those cold winter months. There's no doubt about it.
No. I'm agree with you, you know, but still, it's the best city in the world.
So what you're telling me is you're not going to be moving to Winnipeg anytime soon. I haven't convinced you.
Hey, if they give me a job, why not?
Would you take the goalie coaching job with the Jets and be Connor Hellebuck's goalie coach?
He leave the team anyway.
What do you mean?
He said like he doesn't want to stay there. He wants to compete for the Stanley Cup. He doesn't want to be part of the rebuild.
So Connor Hellebuck is like my favorite goalie personally, and obviously being born in Winnipeg, I like the Jets. So
you hurt my feelings.
Why is that?
You said he's your favorite goalie, you know, like
Well, I mean, we did start off earlier by talking about how you eliminated Jose Theodore, who was my childhood idol, and now today's version is Connor Hellebuck. He's my favorite goalie, but you're not playing actively, so I can't really say you're my favorite goalie today.
I play in a beer league, maybe.
I will say, though, in all BS aside, when you were playing, you had some of the best style out there. You had basically the all black with the purple tinge Vaughn badge. You always had great masks. I love the maroon base, like the Action Red in Phoenix. The setups you had throughout your career were always incredible. They're always tip top, and the masks were great too.
Thank you. You excuse right now, okay?
Well, was there a reason why you switched back and forth, both between, like, you started dark base in Anaheim and then you went light in Arizona, back to dark, and then light again in Philadelphia, back to dark, and then light the rest of your career in Edmonton and Minnesota before you finished off, I believe, black gear again in Anaheim for your final season of pro?
It's easy. For example, if it's in a black collar in a... exist in a uniform, I would choose the black. For example, in Minnesota, take the green pads, they look awful. Color, you know, like you put it the green pads, it doesn't look good. In Edmonton, there was like navy, like not like really like name. I don't like it, you know, like needed. It was like, yeah, black, white, or in Phoenix, there was a red. When you like wear everything red, it's like too. It's nice. Red Fury, you know, like Team Spain in the soccer, they call it.
It's definitely a sexy look. There's no doubt about it. And like I said, you always had really good style. But was there a reason why towards the end in Philadelphia when you switched from Vaughn to Bauer? Because I remember you went to the Bauer Reflexes, I think, from the Vaughn V4s.
Mm-hmm. It's a big mistake. I think personally, you know, like for me personally, Vaughn for the goal is kind of a best product. Like for me, like, you know, I used the Reebok, I used Coho, I used whatever, Bauer, like many things. But Vaughn for me stands above the all, you know, like. The way they made, they so custom, they so fit, you know, they like, they just sit on me like all equipment perfectly.
Was there a reason though you switched to Bauer? Because you had those beautiful V4s, that black, orange, and white set in Philadelphia, and then
amount of money.
How does that work though? Because you're wearing Vaughn, and then they reached out and they said, we'd like to make you a Bauer athlete. Here's a check, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah, they basically said like, okay, Ilya, like, would you like to, like, my contract with Vaughn was getting expired, you know, like, and Bauer came to me saying, would you like to try? I said, like, I try it. I really don't like it. He said, like, oh, we're going to make the exactly like a Bauer or like a Vaughn, you know what I mean? I said, like, okay, if you can make it, then it's good. How much? And they said, like, certain amount of money. Like, okay, it's very interesting, you know, like sign the deal for the 3 years, something like that. Oh, good amount of money. And you're like, they never was been able to replicate the volume.
And so when they offer you that contract, can I ask you how much they offer you?
No. Trust me, it was a really good money.
So are you telling me that you bankrupted Bauer single-handedly?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, this Brzgalov guy is taking all of our money. We paid him too much money. Now we can't get it back, and he won't return the money. Now we got to file for bankruptcy.
Yeah, there was some chapter that they filed in some, like a few years ago. I remember maybe not the main branch, maybe some small part. I don't know. Maybe I'm mistaken. You know, after the COVID, memory is not as sharp anymore.
I don't know. That makes two of us, trust me. One question I wanted to ask, and I know we talked about it in the previous version of the podcast, but specifically here, the media was always very not fair to you, I think, in Philadelphia. Maybe you had some struggles, they got on your back and they wouldn't leave you alone. Like, what was the reason why, do you think? Like, why do you, like, was it that they were just looking for a hit piece, they had nothing else to write about, and they said, let's make this guy our our rag doll, our punching bag? Like, why was that? Because, and I don't mean to BS with you, but like, I think you're a cool guy. I don't see why they would want to, why you'd want to write a hit piece on a guy like you. I know goalies are weird. You and I are probably, you know, very weird compared to most people, but like, you just seem like an average cool guy.
I guess I was the most interesting player in the NHL.
Like the, you seen the Dos Equis ads, right?
Yeah. Oh, I hope you got some chichin for that, huh?
I don't drink all the time, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis. I am the world's most interesting man.
I was always wondering, like sports journalism, you know, like I don't want to like say that I want to start the war or something, but they're not very intelligent, you know what I mean? They're not very intelligent people. It's sometimes you feel pity for them because like many times we have like off the record the conversation with them, you know, like, or even on the record conversation, they printed it and housekeeping. They laugh at me, you know, like said like he says stupid things, you know, like, and they write this in the media, you know, like they write it in the newspaper, and 2 days later they come back and said like, listen, Bruce, we didn't know that you said right thing. Indeed was like, you know, was like Americans send the monkey to the space first for the tryout, kind of said like, yeah, you know, that's a kind of a fact, you know what I mean? Like, and I like, did you write the apologies in the newspaper? No, nobody gonna read that, you know what I mean? And there's so many things like that was, you know, you give them some piece of information, like very interesting, and for I think for me, you know, like I mean, it's a known fact for the, if you educated, well educated person, it's a known fact, and they make fun of it because they think you're joking, or you're saying some stupid thing, and when they Google it and research it and realize in a few days later, they're like, oh my God, you know, scratching the head, you know, like, Jesus, you was right. You know what I mean? It's just, you feel bad for them, you know, like.
I don't know if it's necessarily the sports media. It seems like media as a whole, whether we're talking like the CBC or the CNNs and whatnot, they're all like that sports media of like, we'll write some hit piece that doesn't necessarily tell the truth. I mean, we're technically lying by omission, but we'll take like one little bit of truth and then all this other BS, and then we'll just spit it out and try to get some views and try to get people to buy. And it's like, well, like none of this is true. This is garbage. Who believes this junk?
Yeah, no. Like all this Fox News, CNN, CBC, whatever, NBC, you know, you can't imagine. You got to understand, there is like only probably 2% of the world, the people who can think, remember, analyze, and free thinking. And when they're watching these news, you know what I mean? Most of the time, they believe whatever they say to them. Some of them watching the Fox News because they think, they shape their opinion, you know what I mean? They to manipulate them, to form the vision for the life. But it's not all reality. It's all, yeah, like you said, it's all BS. But they can't even remember what they tell them yesterday from the news. That's how amazing the brains of the most of the people work.
One example comes to mind, and like you just mentioned of shaping the minds. It's like, let's say, like, you know, my microphone, for example. You and I both know this microphone is black, but tomorrow it's charcoal gray. The next day it's navy blue. Then it's royal blue after that. And they want you to not believe what your own eyes are showing you. And an example that comes to mind is Matt Murray, right? He's a goalie for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know him?
No, I don't know him personally. I know he played for Pittsburgh, Ottawa, and like, yeah.
Okay, so him and I are friends, right, and whatnot. And I remember this season, the CBC and the Sportsnet were doing this hit piece on him about how he's cheating, how he's knocking the nets off on purpose, trying to get more whistles for the Leafs. And I'm like, okay, I know it's coming from the CBC, but I'll listen to this garbage and see if it is baloney. And they're showing posts of him or clips of him going into a post integration, reverse VH. He's wrapping the arm around the post and sealing. And you can tell, like, as a goalie, and you would know that these posts aren't done up very well. They're a little bit loose. And when you have a man who is 6'5", 200 plus pounds coming into the net with all his force, the net's going to give. The posts are going to move. Things are going to come off. But they've showed these clips in just the right angle that makes it look like he might be cheating. But when you and I both know, like there's no goaltender that's going into a post integration with the intention of knocking the net off to cheat and get more whistles. Like, it's absolute BS. But they've shaped it. They've manipulated it in a way where if you're one of the 98%, like we talked about, you're going to see that and say, you know what? You're right. He is cheating. He's a cheater. He's a terrible goalie, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, these people don't even know their own ass from a hole in the ground.
That is like the net in an NHL special. Like, I'm understanding when the children's play, the pegs are so small, you know, it's easy to knock it off. And an NHL is that much deep, was in the ice, the hole. It's not easy to get this net out on purpose, especially with the to the goalie. It's like, yeah, like, you know, like, you know, we live in the world of the propaganda. It, you know, like, it could be left or right. It's all propaganda, you know. They just brain, like, they wash your brain, like, brainwashing you, just manipulating to better control of you.
Was there a reason why, like, when you retired, I noticed you ended up doing some work for Sportsnet, CBC, and some mainstream stuff for the previous cup final in Vegas. Was there a reason why you ended up doing some work with the mainstream media and what your experience was like doing that?
No, I just, my friend, he works for the Players Tribune, and he asked me, like, hey, Bruce, you want to have some fun? I said, yeah, let's go. That's it.
And who is the friend working for the Players Tribune, if I may ask?
He was travel coordinator, Frank Bonovo. He works in Minnesota, and after that he left the job and he worked for the Players Tribune, and I guess he lives right now in Pittsburgh and do some banking, something with the bank. Yeah, he, good friend of mine, eh? he worked in that time with a good group of his friends too, Tyler and Dan, and yeah, four of us, we have a good times out there.
Yeah, some of the clips in you and the Vegas Strip were very entertaining. They're pretty funny. But have you ever been on Spit and Chicklets before, or not really?
No.
Because I find that weird, because like I was doing some research today, like trying to look more into you and trying to be at least somewhat educated for our conversation today. And I'm amazed that of all the people that they've had on, they've never had Ilya Bryzgalov as a guest. And I feel like, you know, you were one of the few people out there that, you know, are happy to share your opinions, like we talked about with the brainwashing of the media and how you see the world as well, like from the universe to the solar system to hockey, goaltending. Like, you're a very experienced, knowledgeable person, but they've never had you on, and it's, I find it odd that they've never even bothered to reach out to have you on before.
Yes, they do, but I denied. I heard couple one of the friends, they like show me the, no, I read it in the Russian newspaper, not newspaper, sport papers, few translations of this podcast with the Canadian players who plays in Russia.
Ryan Whitney, I remember that. Yep.
And like, it's trash.
How so?
They I was grow up out there. You know what I mean? I was, when I play in NHL sprint every summer, that I know the country, you know what I mean? And some things, it's like, for me, it was hard to believe, you know what I mean? And like, they talk about some things out there, they happened to them. Maybe, you
like
know.
Do you feel like they were BSing for the sake of a story, for clicks and views, and trying to make the country and the area look bad just so that, you know, they could tell a big story kind of deal, and you didn't want to be a part of that?
Yes, this is exactly, yeah.
Well, hey, I'll say this. I'm happy to have you on the show anytime. I mean, it was fun having you on the last episode. It's why, you know, anytime I talk to Vlad, I say, you know, when can the old man come back on the show? I'd love to talk to the old man and pick his brain on some stuff. I really wanted to get you in person for today's show. Maybe we'll have to do something coming up in the fall when, you know, when we travel to New Jersey with this new expansion team.
Yeah, right. No problem. No problem. I hope I'm not going to be an expedition.
What do you mean, an expedition? Like a Christopher Columbus expedition?
Yeah, no, similar. I want to go to the Antarctica, South Pole, to study the why is it when the penguins was sliding in the ice, they never hurt their belly. When it's a human sliding in the ice, he's hurting their belly. That's my new research.
You ever seen Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell, the movie?
Yes, it's my favorite, you know.
Yeah, when he's like, hey, McElroy, check this out. That's my icy hot super slide. And he just like slides and he like his whole stomach's cut up. And he's like, yeah, that's tough.
Penguins never hurt their bellies, you know, when they slide in the ice. I hope I will return. What about the alcohol? Is there any replies?
It's not live. This is just a pre-recorded show. We don't do it live quite yet. We should do one live in person, though, when in the fall, assuming, because you and Vlad are going to be in the New Jersey area still for the fall, correct?
I'm probably in the fall. Depends when. If it's going to be around Thanksgiving, I might going to be in New Jersey. Because, like I said, we moved to Florida. We live in Florida right now, Miami.
It's a beautiful place, the home of Ron DeSantis. God bless his soul, but... the team, so in our league, we just had an expansion draft and I was picked up by a team in Virginia, in Wytheville, Virginia. I was told yesterday that I might be getting my rights traded somewhere, and we would be coming to the expansion team in New Jersey regardless. So whenever the schedule does come out and I have a rough idea, hopefully we can coordinate something. We'd love to have you out to a game, have you come to an FPHL game and get your cherry pop for your first ever Fed experience.
Puck drop,
yeah. What if we had you out for the official puck drop?
Puck drop and 2 free hot dogs and Coke.
Coke Zero or Diet Coke?
No, if I drink only, drink regular.
You don't drink Diet or Coke Zero? You drink full-on sugar Coke?
Because it's a different taste.
Which one? The Coke, the Coke Zero, the Diet Coke, Cherry Coke? Like, which ones are you talking about?
Classic Coke have a different taste than the Diet Coke and the... Zero calorie Coke. You can't drink those zero calorie because it's just, I don't like the taste. I like cherry Coke. It's a good too. And you probably will retire soon.
I don't know. I got a couple more years left before I retire, but maybe we can get a Coke sponsorship. But I'm sure they have in the U.S., but in Canada they just released a Coke Zero cherry flavor. And it's like my favorite soft drink right now. You know, keep in mind, I've brainwashed myself to believe that Coke Zero and Diet Coke are the best that it can get because I haven't had a real full-calorie Coke Zero in years. But the Cherry Coke is really, really, really tight. It's really, really good. It's at Walmart on special. I think 12-pack for like $4.99 in Canada.
Yeah, no, Cherry Coke is good. Yeah, good stuff.
I did have two more things to finish off with you before we cap off the episode. Now, I know you have a love for Siberian Huskies. Now, do you still have your Siberian Husky still?
She will turn 14 in August.
14, wow. That's an old dog. She's in good health, everything?
She's in a good health, yes, yes. She had a happy life. She fed well, but you can see she's already old, you know.
Do you think you'll get another husky after she passes, or are you going to...
Oh, no more dogs, no. No, that's it.
Okay, well, I guess that solves that. I had two more things. Well, one and a half more questions for you. The second last one was with your boy Vlad. Obviously, you've gotten some experiences, you know, growing up in Russia, going to the National League. I'm sure you made a lot of sacrifice, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and all that kind of stuff. But you see today's game, today's goalies. I've listened to you on a couple other podcasts talk about the kids today getting a little bit soft, not having that same kind of like grit, that sandpaper that maybe like you had growing up or that the kids used to. Like, well, like what specifically do you see in that?
Specifically, exactly what in the new generations?
Yeah, like you, like when you go to the rink with your boy Vlad, and you see the other goalies, you see the other players, like how they conduct themselves, how they're training, how they go about their business compared to how you were raised and what you saw. And I know you mentioned that you see it a little bit softer with this generation. Like, what do you see specifically that is lacking that maybe you had growing up?
It's a tough question. you can't just like, it's an every kid different thing, you know. I don't know. I grew up, you know, I have to take my hockey equipment from home, go to the bus, get inside the bus, which bus was usually packed, you know what I mean? Get to the practice, dress myself, you know, go on the ice, practice, finish the practice, undress myself, same thing, come back on a fully packed bus home, you know, unequip my, like, dry my stuff, you know what I mean? And every day, same thing. Right now, you just take care of the kids, you know, like, oh, honey, did you unpack your bag? Make sure gear is dry. It's not going to be rotten, stinky. And later, not right now. You dry them there. Oh, honey, are you tired? Oh, dude, here just for fun, you know, enjoy. I don't know. It's just the time, you know, it's a different time. So you look at them, you know, like 17, 18, and you try to compare yourself with the new generation. You say like, damn, when they're 17 years old, they doesn't know some things like, okay, like basic things, because I guess that's our fault as a parents, because we protect them and shield them from many things for the long, long time.
Are you trying to expose Vlad to more of that stuff and that tough love of building up that foundation with him?
I tried to tell him. Yeah, I said, like, dude, like, sometimes he's like, oh, I finished my workout. I said, like, whoa, dude, what did you do? Just not enough, not even close, you know, like, just come back to the gym, you know, you start doing things. And they look at you like that, like, dude, I just ride the 20 minutes bike, you know, you're like, really? It's not enough if you want to go to the different level. And you try to tell them, like, what I do when I was 17. You know, how we was being coached, how we was being trained. What's the preparation? How, you know, they, like, want to go, like, to another, for example, level without sacrificing some things, you know. Without the hard work, but and you try to reason with the people, with the kids. I said, like, okay, guys, it's impossible, because to get to another level, doesn't matter where it's gonna be, like, it's a hockey or any other sport, any another job, you know, like, you can't go to the university, for example, and know your major without the show up on the classes and study. Same thing in hockey. You can get to another level if you not get yourself physically, mentally to the different level. You gotta sacrifice some things. You can't have the same lavish style.
Yes, the Manscaped Beard Hedger from the team at Manscaped. It has 20 lengths. It has a 90-minute battery life, an absolute beast of a machine. If you'll see me here on the video version of the podcast, obviously you can't see in the audio version, but can you hear this maybe? This was trimmed up with the Manscaped Beard Hedger. So I taper down from about a 10 down to a 20, and then I just kind of put my comb in there, the Manscaped comb, and I kind of taper that Hercules, maybe Crimson Chin jawline look. I know I don't have the greatest natural jawline, so I try to compensate any way I can. They come with some awesome beard shampoo, some creams, some oils and whatnot. And again, the Manscaped Beard Hedger, 90 minutes of life, 20 different lengths. It's awesome. And you're going to go to the link in the video description at manscaped.com. You're going to click on that. Code BIZKIT, BIZKIT, is going to get you 20% off and free shipping. The Manscaped Beard Hedger. And again, thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the show.
Like, sometimes you got to make the sacrifices, because professional sports, it's a different animal. If you want to be a professional athlete, you practicing, you resting, you eat properly, you practice again, you resting. You don't have a time for, sometimes you only have a time for the meeting your buddies, friends, you know. You can't hang out all day long with your friends, with your girlfriends, go to the restaurants and having fun, and spend only 1 hour for the practice and expect getting better. it doesn't work that way. You might be, if you want to go to another level, you might have a 1 hour for the friends and the girlfriends and for the enjoying the lifetime, you know, like have some fun. And rest of the time, it's preparation.
Well, you're from Russia, or I'm assuming you're a fan of Khabib Nurmagomedov and his work?
Who?
Have you never heard of Khabib Nurmagomedov, UFC fighter?
It's MMA, UFC fighter.
Yeah, yeah, the undefeated Khabib the Eagle. Like, there's been video of him wrestling bears at 9 years old. Like he's a 9 year old boy wrestling a grizzly bear. It's crazy, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know, like because like you have to make the choices. That's why when I was 17, I made the choice. I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke anymore. You know, like that's what I want to achieve. And because sport. If you want to go to another level, it became your job. If you want to go to another level, you have to spend the time.
Well, and hopefully that helps somebody listen to the show. And I got to say, I love your body of work in the National League. Just seeing the success you've had, your story. Even though maybe you get a little bit more hate on than you, I think you deserve. I consider you a friend and appreciate you coming on the show. I really do, and looking forward to having you in person this fall. Hopefully sometime in New Jersey, or maybe when we come down to Georgia or Carolina, we can get you somewhere in the middle and in Florida, something along those lines. But I have one more question for you before you wrap up. This will be the final one because I know you got to get going and pick your boy up from the rink. But the gas prices. We talked last time about the gas prices in Norway, how they were 26, 27 crowns a liter, $3.50, $4 a liter. Do you have any final closing thoughts on the gas prices these days?
I bought the Tesla. I don't care.
When did you buy the Tesla? What model did you get?
I bought for my daughter Tesla. Why? Yeah, Tesla Model Y. It's amazing, you know. Just everything you do on the phone, you know, like pick the color, pick the car, pick the everything, you know. Submit your documents, and they said, okay. On a certain day, just come up and pick up the car. You came, just pick up, open the car. You don't interact with anyone. Just jump in the car, boom, and you home. That's it.
What are you driving yourself personally? Your daughter has a Tesla. Do you still drive that same Tesla, or do you have something else you're driving?
I actually have a Range Rover. My son, Vladdy have a G-Wagon. I don't have a car.
He's got a G-Wagon. Wow.
Yeah, Vladdy got a G-Wagon.
That's a nice wagon. That's a nice car.
You got to ask him about the price of the gas.
So he puts the gas in. You don't put the gas in. You don't even know what the price of gas is these days.
Walking with a stroller.
you are a father of a newborn baby, so that does make sense. But Ilya, again, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, man. It's really been fun, and it's always fun having you on the show. You're never a dull moment anytime you do come on the podcast.
Okay, sounds good. Travis, thank you. And maybe for the next time, ask maybe the viewers. They might be going to ask him some questions. They're interested, you know what I mean? And you can add some.
Yeah, well, why don't we do that before we cap off? If you're on the YouTube video version or if you're on the Apple or Spotify version, go over to the YouTube video version of the show. Leave a comment in the comment section of a question that you have for Ilya, something you're curious about, a comment, a question, anything it is you want. And for the next version, when me and Ilya are in person, when we do a new show, I'll read those off to you. We'll fire off the questions, rapid fire, or any of the people's comments and whatnot, and we'll read them all off. So if you have that, leave in the comment section. This will come up in the future. So again, I want to thank everybody for listening. This is Slinging the Biscuit. We do a new episode every single Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, and 8 in the West Coast. If you're on the YouTube video version, please hit the subscribe button and like this. If you want to see more episodes just like this, if you're on the Apple Spotify version, leave a review, a little 5-star review on the review section for Apple and Spotify. Ilya, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm looking forward to having you on next time, man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bye, Travis.